For those of you who may not know me, my name is Roger, and it's my privilege to lead worship today. Michael is in the middle of his vacation. He'll be returning the week after next, I believe. I'm here again next week. I have a couple of close to our hearts announcements. Susan Lucas called Michael this morning, and she informed Michael that Gary is doing very, very well. He's being moved to rehab. So move to rehab means he's probably up for some visitors at some point in time as well. So I'll let you all chase after that rainbow. And then I was asked if I could announce that Joy Jensen has moved. She has moved into Oakwood Terrace. Now, it's not that bad. Oakwood Terrace. It's really close by. It's only 5-7 minutes from here. Hank called and asked if we would share that information. So let's make a point, those of you who know her well, just of paying her some visits and making her home as much of a home as we can make it. Thank you. So if any of you are new to us today and visiting, please stay after service when we have our lemonade and our time of socializing. Oh, look, Ron wants me to go up there. Acknowledgement of place, that's coming. Calm yourself. As I was saying, if you are new to us, please stay after service. Spend some time. We'd love to get to know you and to speak with you. And now, yes, we'll do acknowledgement of place. You'll find it on the front of your bulletin. And if you'd please join me in reading it. For thousands of years, First Nations people have walked on this land. Their relationship with the land is at the center of their lives and spirituality. Through mutuality of the Peace and Friendship Treaty, we gather on the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people, and we acknowledge that their place on their land is protected throughout the ages. We have three candles that we are lighting, the first of which is the Christ candle, acknowledging that God, Jesus, and the Spirit are all with us here today. Second, the candle of peace. Candle of peace represents so many different things to each and every one of us. Some of us think of family, some of us think of nation, some think of the world at large. So a little more poignant, the lighting of the candle for the peacekeeper. Those people whom we assign and whom we train to do the work and fight the fight to bring the world to a peaceful place everywhere. Those first responders, those members of the armed forces. We think of these people all through our service today.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Let us give thanks.
Okay. Good.
Thank you, Madison. Please join me in the opening prayer. Jesus, we welcome you to this gathering. Our friends are here,
and together we give you thanks and praise your name. We trust in your ways and are blessed by your love. Be with us in this place. Allow us to see and hear you through the scriptures. We yearn for direction. We hunger. Feed us now with that which only you can give. Amen.
And the opening hymn today is In More Voices, number 154, Deep in Our Hearts, and the words will be on the screens. First reading today is revisiting the letter to the Ephesians. We continue with chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to the people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all of the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for the work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And in doing so, become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, I do see some children here today. We had a very small population of them last week, and we will do it again this week. Come on up. Now, we started last week by asking you all your names because, well, I don't know them. So let's start again. Madison, I know you. What is your name, young lady? Natalie. And what is your name? Melissa. Yours, sir? Foster. And yours? Ashley. Okay. Does everybody see my tie? Can you see my tie? See it? You like it? Good. So do I. You went to see that movie on Friday. Wonder why I'm wearing this tie. Okay, what is the tie? What's on it? Do we know? Anybody say who's on it? Go ahead, Ashley. Pooh, Tigger, and Eeyore. Exactly. Well, this tie is maybe 30 years old. Winnie the Pooh's been around for a long, 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 long time. It's an age-old story, and it was a story probably for when we were children as well. But if you recall last week, I talked about something. Madison, you were the only one who was here last week. Do you remember I talked about superheroes? Do you remember I talked about a superhero type that you guys had never heard of? Do you remember what it was called? Care Bears. Well, you loved that show. Well, good, I found somebody who watched the show. I had somebody in the congregation very generously bring in Bedtime Bear. And this is a Care Bear. Now, we have chuckles coming all around. But, you know, look out there. Look at all the grown-ups. Look at them. Look, see? They're all sitting there with their mouth slightly open with a little smile on their face. Because we're talking about Winnie the Pooh and we're talking about Care Bears. What do you think they're feeling? Happy. It's like a wonderland. This is Bedtime Bear. The Bedtime Bear used to help you go to sleep at night and dream good dreams. It's really cuddly. Feel Bedtime Bear. Isn't that nice? When I had my little babies, when Susanna and I had them at home, we would let them cuddle. We would talk to them about this feeling. I know, Foster, you're wearing all your sports apparel there, but isn't that nice? Yeah, how about you? What do you think? And do you think? Yeah. So this, I talked about this being a superhero, but really, the reason why I did that last week, there was one very, very big reason, because everybody had a superhero in mind. Last week it was Spider-Man, and last week it was Iron Man. But if we really think hard about it, and you think about how Jesus wants us to live and how God wants us to live, we really shouldn't be raising our hands and fighting fights, should we? No. So these guys, and there's Kanga and Roo, and there's Eeyore, and there's Piglet, and you watch the movie, so you know all about it. These guys lived in the 100-acre wood. They're your favorite. And these guys had a world that was all their own with Christopher Robin. And in that world, they cared for each other. And they were concerned when one was sad or when one was lonely. They cared for each other. And that is the world that these guys, the Care Bears, were putting out for the whole world. All of the children in the world. And this is what I want you never, ever, ever, ever to let go of. Because when you see that tie and you look and you talk about that tie and you look out there at all the grown-ups and the smiles and the looks of wonderment, that's the feeling that you should carry with you all your life, because it is how you need to deal with everybody you meet. You deal with them with fairness, being fair, with sharing, with caring, and with love. Are we all good there? Okay. Jiggy with that? That's an old term. You guys don't know that one. Okay. Let's say a prayer together. Precious God, thank you for allowing us to feel freely.
Thank you for allowing us to feel freely.
We feel love, we feel sharing, and we feel peace.
We feel love, we feel sharing, and we feel peace.
We will share these feelings with everyone. Amen. All right. Well, now, Care Bear belongs to a lady right at the very back corner. She's going to wave her hand. There she is. Ashley, when you go, can you drop Care Bear back off safely? Thank you very much. We're going to sing a song first, though, and I don't have my bulletin with me. What is the name of the song? Worship the Lord. Oh, it's up there. Thanks, Ashley. Ron. All right, let's stand up and sing this song.
Thank you.
Aren't books wonderful? You know, it occurred to me just now, I'll walk with you guys to the door. It occurred to me just now that you guys didn't know that song at all. So next week, I'm going to make sure that it's a song that you guys know, so that you guys can sing it as well. I think we should not do songs that are not known by children. That's just my opinion. You guys have fun. Thank you for the Care Bear. So, we continue again with John, the Gospel of John, moving to chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and they went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate of the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him once more, "What sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate of the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always, always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." The word of the Lord.
Of the thunder, the lightning, the seasons
was lovely. Likewise, I think that some of these beautiful pieces of music should be brought forward into the year between September and June and performed for a larger congregation as well. I feel very privileged to be able to hear them here. So this week, we have two readings that, when you look at them by themselves, and some of you will or have, they're thin. Thin meaning that they say a lot but don't go anywhere. They're taken by themselves. You'd be hard-pressed to find a good, solid lesson. But if we attach these two readings to what we talked about last week, and we move forward with these two readings, then they can very, very easily help us understand. Last week, we talked about the loaves and fishes, and we also touched down on the reading where Jesus walked on water. He came to the vessel in the middle of turmoil. The water was rough. The occupants in the boat were nervous. They were not feeling too good about reaching Capernaum. And then there was Jesus. And they didn't ask. They didn't say, what? Hold on. Is there a stepping stone there or something? They didn't do anything like that. They just recognized their Lord and Master, and they knew here in their heart that this fellow may be able to help them. This fellow is the one that they should rely upon. I think that the reading in itself is a gigantic metaphor, but we'll move forward. In a condition that all is well, the boat arrives safely. They're in Capernaum. And we find a crowd of people that was there days earlier who were fed, arriving, and arriving with questions. They weren't happy. I don't think they were happy that they had to make the long trek to Capernaum. Some of them probably didn't like water, so they walked. What is this? Why did you leave? They even boldly started demanding that he give them signs. You know, what they were doing was what we do. We do this time after time after time when we come to church after a hard week. They were demonstrating hunger, questions, yearning, a need to understand, a need to have somebody tell them the way to go, give them a clear path. So that is when Jesus started with this massive revelation. I am the way and the life. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. I mean, that's massive. How did he get there? How did he have the people believe and understand? And this is not just a bus full of scholars coming and sitting down in front of Jesus. This is the people. This is us sitting down in front of Jesus. Teachers, road workers, maintenance people, nurses, doctors, scholars, professors, engineers, people who work in Walmart. These are those people, us, sitting down in front of Jesus, a single man, and he says to them, I tell you, not because you came, not because of the signs, but you came because I fed you. And they're going, yeah, that's part of it. Sure. I mean, free food's free food. He turns around then and he tells them, I want to give you food, but I don't want you to eat the food that comes from normal men. I want you to eat the food that I give you that comes from my Father. The food that will lead you to eternal life. The food that will nourish you. And now they're confused. They're wondering what's going on. What does this man mean? How can he possibly be saying that? If I cut this guy, he's going to bleed. He's not God. And they said to him, all right, if you want us to believe you, if you want me to believe you, you have to give me a sign. What sign are you going to give me? Because you know, back when Moses gave us a sign, he brought manna down from heaven and he fed us. And Jesus straightened them out on that issue as well. The manna came from God. And the food that I give you also comes from God. So stick with me. Believe in me. And all by itself, that gospel reading, all by itself, leaves us with a cup of coffee. I read it, and I pretty well understand what he means, and my coffee's finished. It's time to get up and go out into the world. Thin. So I ask myself, how does that relate to the world today? What's going on? Last week I spoke of the religion of money. I talked about the religion of money and I talked about the homeless. I made a point of referring to a family on Morris Street that was sleeping under the awning of a building. They were representative of thousands. They were representative of millions of people in the same situation. And in order for us to understand how we are to proceed, in my opinion, in God's way, how we are to proceed in God's way, we need to understand and recognize how the world works. And what tells us in these readings to do that? First of all, in Ephesians, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people. Not the cunning and craftiness of God, the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful, scheming way. And in the gospel reading, do not work for the food that spoils. What is that food? Anybody? Give me an example of food that spoils. Metaphorically. Money. How about that one? It's a good one. So, you know, I was told by Stu about 5 years ago, Stu Clark, Roger, don't preach politics. But sometimes I think we have to touch on it. And I think sometimes when we start thinking, well, he's just talking about politics. I'm not. Commerce, business at large, the way of the world. Politics is the avenue that money, commerce, and business takes to achieve their end goal. One thing I'm disgusted with, and I'll only say it once, is governments who make money on addictions. And they veil it by saying, we're going to use the money to help. You know, you're going to legalize weed, legalize marijuana. Why? Because they can make a lot more money than it would cost them to arrest the people who are selling the drug. Said it. It's out there. How does it relate today? Why does the title of my food for thought say humility and pride? Very simply this. If we understand what Jesus is saying, that he is the way and the life, if we understand and commit ourselves and give ourselves totally to following Jesus' way, then we're halfway there. If we look at the reading in Ephesians and we understand that Paul, in his very wordy way, is saying, get along with each other. Don't fight with one another. Take all that you are with humility and work with those tools in order to gain favor, yes, to gain listening of those you meet, to gain them paying attention to you so that they may understand you and become one with you. You're not using tools that you were given at Walmart or in an insurance company or at the bank. You're using tools that we talked about last week when we listed Christian values. Those are the tools. If we follow this reading, this advice by Paul, and we ignore the work and the push and the really persuasive ways of humans, people, then we are following Christ, then we are giving ourselves to Christ, then we are eating of that which Christ is giving us. It's not simple. It's not simple at all. I believe this, though. I believe that if we do this, then others will follow. If others follow, then others will follow. You know, I pinpointed a few areas: homeless people, indigenous rights, famine, national, provincial, and civil spending habits. All of that can be affected dramatically by a people who grow in number and are united as one and move forward in God's way. Not thinking of what it would be good for business. Can't make money doing that. Move forward in God's way. 1960s to early 1970s, there was a hippie movement. I'm not talking about that at all. This isn't free love. This is being proactive with our souls, with our faith, and moving forward in God's way. Live your life as a Christian. Don't water it down. Don't mix it with the money religion. Don't make it nice. Live your life as a Christian. Work your life as a Christian. It'll make a difference. Food for thought. Sharing the life and work of the community. Are there any announcements that anyone would like to make? If you do, please come up to the microphone. This may be a first. Thank you, Stu.
Back here in the sound booth. Right before the service, a pearl clip-on earring was turned in. I've been test driving it the whole service, and it's quite comfortable. So, ladies and or gentlemen, if it belongs to you, please come back and see me and we'll negotiate its return.
What is his name? Kenneth Dory. He's struggling with cancer. We'll include him in our prayers. Thank you, Heather. So, there's a moment for mission, I am sure.
Our gifts for mission and service support work with advocacy organizations like Project Plowshares in its efforts to abolish the use of nuclear weapons. Hiroshima could happen again. The doctrines, actions, and postures by those who embrace the purported benefits of nuclear weapons perpetuate, rather than renounce, nuclear weapons retention. Today, more than 15,000 nuclear warheads continue to threaten civilization. Even a limited nuclear exchange would bring about devastating humanitarian consequences. The primary rationale for the complete elimination of nuclear weapons rests in the possibility that a catastrophe could occur by accident or design and would likely involve greater numbers of vastly more powerful bombs than those dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Until all nuclear weapons are eliminated, an entirely preventable risk lingers.
Canada boycotted the most recent effort to advance nuclear disarmament, a legal prohibition of nuclear weapons, just as the U.S. had asked, yet apprehension about Canada's stand is shared by Canadian civil society experts, academics, former diplomats, and a host of prominent citizens. The use of nuclear weapons is unacceptable, and the goal of their complete elimination is not negotiable. This is why Project Plowshares has engaged civil society partners and government officials in Canada and beyond to emphasize the urgent need for nuclear abolition and the gravity of the nuclear weapons threat. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you. Our offering will now be taken. Accept these, our gifts, and those given through the week by PAR, and put them to your work, to your service in our community. Amen. Thank you. Now it's time for the prayers of the people. You are the people. So if there is something that you wish to say at any time during the prayers, please just speak up. Precious God, we are here. We have been listening. We have been learning. We still have questions, and we always will. In this, your world, we help. We help others in kind ways. We help by giving of ourselves to fight hunger. We help in the ways that we are familiar with, to help the homeless, When disaster strikes somewhere in the world, we try to help. We will continue. But we really, really love your presence with us. You are our strength. Your work, your thoughts, your touching people, your embracing them gives comfort, sustenance, riches life. Please stay with us. There are people whom we need to pray for here today. One such person is Kenneth Dorey. Many of us didn't know of him until just now. But this man is struggling. He's fighting a disease. There's not much we can do other than give him the medication he needs to feel more comfortable. Please be with him. Take our prayers to him. Help him. Bring him into your embrace. There are others whom we pray for. Hannah, Nancy, Natalie, Peter, Zelda, Faith, and Dorothy. Carolyn, Joy, Gary, Eric, Richard, Sean, and Simon. Gary, Graham, Jean, Neil, David, Millie, Audrey, and Matilda. And others who have said aloud now or in the silence of our hearts. God, we also have happy, happy thoughts. We celebrate with our family, with our friends. We express joy when we hear of such occasions from acquaintances. We thank you for the opportunity to rejoice. We thank you for the opportunity to laugh and to love. Keep the never-ending supply of beauty and peace and love coming. We will use it to the best of our ability in your name. And now, in the words our Father taught us, we pray. Our Father. Now join with me, please, with the closing hymn, We Are One, Voices United, hymn book number 402, or on the screen. The book may give you more words than the screen does. I make light of it, but I have to say thank you, a big, big thank you to Ron, because every week he looks at the hymns and he makes sure that they're up there. Thank you very much. And thanks to Stu and to Don for helping out with tech today, to the choir. May God be with us, each and every one of us, as we leave this place. May he help us outwardly show that we have love abounding and we're willing to share. Amen.